Exklusiv, das hörbare Magazin der TOS.
Paul Wilber, thank you very much for coming, and I'm really happy to have you here today with us on the Offensiv interview and podcast.
Yeah, thank you. It's always a pleasure. I love being here in Tübingen.
Thank you so much. Although I think you almost need no introduction, you are a well-known worship artist, also speaker and author, and you have been leading worship and serving in the kingdom of God for more than 40 years.
More than 40 and almost 50, but it's just a number.
It's just a number, mm-hmm. But still there's a lot behind of it. And we will talk about that later also about faithfulness and what it means to serve that long and to keep the fire burning. But maybe first of all, I would be interested to know, was it always your dream to become a musician and to be on the stage, or was there something else in your past?
Well, music has always been a part of my life. My dad actually wanted to be a musician. He was a very fine violinist. Growing up, but being in a Jewish home, there's a tradition that if your father is a chemist, then you'll be a chemist, your son will be a chemist. So my dad became a chemist, but thankfully he didn't press that on me. And so at the age of 9, he gave me a very inexpensive guitar. And not that one, but much nicer ones have been in my hands ever since. So more than 60 years I've been playing a guitar and singing. But as far as where that was going to go, I had no idea.
Wow. So did you have any idea what you wanted to be when you grew up in a, as I know, Jewish home?
Mm-hmm. Well, I loved animals. I really wrestled with what I wanted to do with my life. And because I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 27 years old, it was pretty much up to me. I wasn't praying and saying, Lord, what do you have for me, or what's your plan for my life? So I did love music. I had rock bands. I was actually recording music in professional studios in New York City as a teenager, making money. But I also loved animals. And so maybe I thought I would go into being someone who works at a zoo or animal husbandry or something like that. But eventually music really took over. I got involved in the high school choir, in the marching band. Then I interviewed only for one college for the music program. They said yes. I went. It wasn't a passion at that point, but it was where I had success all the time. And so I liked the success part. And that's where my life eventually led me. And it was actually music that led me to a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you can tell a little bit more about that. So you said you got saved when you were 27. Mm-hmm. And how did that, of course, change your life? But also, how did it change your music and your calling?
Well, at the time, 27 years old, I was in graduate school. I had already been a high school music teacher, recording professionally and playing and singing. But now I was working on a master's degree, studying to be an opera singer and a cantor, a traditional, what we might say is a worship leader in a synagogue. I had already lived in Europe. I lived in Milan, Italy, to study music, opera, singing, and the rest. So while I was there at graduate school, a pretty blonde girl asked me to go to church. My life is seasoned with pretty blonde girls who asked me to go to church. I wasn't interested in going to church. I was interested in pretty blonde girls. So she asked me to go to church. I really knew what to expect. Nothing special. 60 minutes. There's numbers on the wall. You sing those three. Those are related to a hymnal. Then somebody says something. They pass buckets. You give money for what you don't know. It's just you do that. And then you get up and leave. And then I can have a date with this pretty blonde girl who I had met at graduate school. But what I didn't expect was that I heard a sound at that service. A young man, my age at the time, 27, got up and sang a song just simply with his nylon string guitar. And he wasn't singing about God. I recognized that he was singing to him. Mm-hmm. Now, I had already been involved in the choir at the temple. I sat next to the cantor, the one who led the worship at our Reformed temple, singing the psalms and the scriptures, but not knowing God, just singing the notes on the page. And it was wonderful and it was beautiful music, but there was no payoff for it. Mm. All of a sudden, I'm sitting at a church and I don't care about the pretty girl sitting next to me. Something happened when this young man sang to God. And that started me on a journey to find out, I didn't know at the time, but a journey to find out who is this God he's singing to and why is he singing. It was a couple months later that that young man, who was actually a guest at the church that day, led me to the Lord on a fishing trip in another state. A lot of details, but are really exciting to me because it showed how detail-minded God is, and that when he has a plan for you, he really wants to see it come to pass. And he was working things out in my life that I didn't even realize. So on that fishing trip, I gave my life to the Lord, kind of even against my will, but it was just the right thing to do. And from that moment on until this, my guitar has been my orchestra. I've been in more than 80 nations. I sing and record in 5, 6, 7 different languages. My wife of 45 years and my 2 sons and my 5 grandsons, all in this music ministry together. It's amazing what happens when God reveals his plan for your life.
Amazing. So great to hear. Thank you for sharing your personal story. And when you got saved, you just shared about it. When did you know that it was your calling to become a full-time minister and full-time worshiper and to travel around the world and to bring messianic worship especially to the world?
Well, that's a good question. All I knew was I had fallen in love with Yeshua, with Jesus. And so I picked up my guitar even that very same day that I prayed and started to sing psalms and hymns. I'd open up the book of Psalms and just start singing to him out of the Psalms. Eventually, people started to call and said, would you come and sing your songs here and there? And 2 other guys joined me. We had a group early days called Harvest. Mm-hmm. Before I knew it, we were recording on a professional label, making records, singing songs to Jesus. And then I became understanding of what it meant to be a Jew who follows Jesus. I found other Jewish believers who were calling themselves Messianic Jews. I thought, what in the world is that? And found out that they worshiped in synagogues and had Torah scrolls and were using some of my songs to worship God. And a whole new world opened up to me. And I started writing songs, particularly for the Messianic Jewish community. It was a process. It took years, but not many, because I found that this music and the message came out of a heart that had been transformed by the presence of God, first at that church service, and then through the reading of the Bible and eating those words. They became food for me, which became lyrics, just like King David. You know, the Psalms, mostly written by David, they were the famous lyrics of his songs, and I borrowed them and still do to this day.
Amazing. Very awesome. Great to hear. And you said it, it's very special that your ministry and also your worship is really bringing together your heart for Yeshua, but also for the Jewish people connected with the Bible, the Word of God. So maybe you can just elaborate a little bit about this, the special anointing, I would call it, of Messianic worship. And what do you think? What is the important point and the heart of it?
The longer I began to study the Word of God, read the Scriptures, of course, go to services, to church, and then I became a cantor at a Messianic congregation with some names that people might even know, like Sid Roth, who's a TV personality, a Jewish believer as well. And then began to understand the Scriptures, that this is what God had made us for. You know, Romans, the very first chapter, the famous Apostle Paul, who I didn't know, but was a rabbi, came to know him as Rav Shaul, Saul of Tarsus, who at first opposed the Jewish believers in Jesus, but then on a trip to destroy Messianic congregations, is confronted with the risen Messiah, Jesus, and he becomes a disciple, of course, and writes most of the New Testament. But in that famous letter to the Romans in chapter 1, he says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation, which is kind of a play on words, because that word salvation is Jesus' name in Hebrew, Yeshua. I'm not ashamed of Yeshua. It's the power of God for salvation to anyone who would believe. And then he wrote something that really surprised me. He said, it's to the Jew first, and also for the nations, or for the Gentiles. And the more I began to understand that, and then go back into the writings of the prophets, even to what Moses said, or what David had written in the Psalms, or what Ezekiel wrote, especially Isaiah, and found that there was a promise of a national salvation for the Jew first, who was to be a demonstration of the goodness and salvation of God to all the nations, not just to keep this to ourselves, but that we would be a testimony in the earth of the goodness and faithfulness of God, whether you live in Iran or Iraq or Canada or Mesopotamia at the time. Yeah. And so found that we as Jews were to do two things: to know this God, and then to make him known. So that became my passion through the music, to know him, to be a worshiper, and then to make him known as I would sing and travel and share my songs with the world.
Wow, thank you. As you said in the beginning, you have been doing this for more than 40, almost 50 years. So now I would really be interested to know, how do you keep the fire alive? And when I hear you, I can still see the fire and your heart burning for Jesus, for his people, for Yeshua. What is key to keep the fire alive?
Well, it's really the key to anything in life. It's relationship. You know, in life, there are people who you feel close to, And but if they move away and you don't sustain that relationship, you don't call, you don't write, you don't keep that connection, the relationship loses its fire, as you said. You lose track of each other. You're not keeping up with what's important to each other. These relationships, even setting that relationship with God aside for just a moment, although that's the primary one, it's what keeps a marriage alive and fresh. I have relationships in my life, men who God has given to me to walk with, and we maintain that relationship, although we may live thousands of miles away. I recognize that these are gifts to me. In fact, I would say that the very secret of the kingdom of God is relationship. Relationship with God through Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, and then because of that relationship to others. This to me is the kingdom. When Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is that kingdom? It is a series of relationships that starts with our relationship with God. And then because of that grace and love that's poured into us through him, we can extend that to others. And this is the kingdom. And I have to say, I experienced that so richly here at TOS Ministries at Tübingen. We started a relationship, Pastor Jobst and I, many years ago. He extended an invitation. I came, I began to meet others here, brothers and sisters, and that relationship stays fresh because we stay in touch. I come and visit. I've seen Pastor Jobst in Jerusalem. We've been in other nations together, and the power of it is relationship. So I'm grateful for these gifts. And because of that, I want to keep them nourished and strengthened. It's the gift of God to us in this earth.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is so important also for a new generation, for young people and those who are starting their way with God or with Yeshua, and also looking to the future. So what would be maybe some advice for the next generation of maybe worshipers, but also people who are loving God and also loving Israel? What is your advice? How can these relationships be nourished, the relationship to God, but also the relationships to other people?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, just like a natural fire, it can burn down. What do? You stir the fire, right? You stir the coals. And it brushes away the dead part of the coal, of the fuel, and it causes the fire, the flame, to burn bright again. It's the same in our relationship with God. Every day, stirring that fire. How do you do that? In prayer, in reading the Word, in this living relationship. It's how I keep my marriage fresh. I'm stirring those coals. I bring my wife gifts of flowers and tell her how lovely she is. And I don't do it enough, but that's my challenge. And so, you know, the Bible says for the next generation, you have many, or it actually says thousands of teachers, but you have not many fathers. There are a lot of young people, including my sons, that call me Abba or Father. It's a great honor for me. But as I was growing up in the faith, I looked for those who would be a father in the faith to me. That didn't mean that they had to be 20 years or 30 years older than me. Sometimes a father in the faith can be someone closer to your age, but who's been walking in this kingdom, walking with the Lord for many years. There's a maturity and there's a desire in them to nourish that in you. I would say, look for fathers. Mm-hmm. Look for those young people. Look for those who God gives to you as a father, and go after them, pursue them, just like you pursue God. And the blessings of that is really incredible.
Hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot. I think that will be great advice for many people, many listeners and watchers. So your ministry has really grown through the years, and you could probably talk for hours about the things you saw and what the Lord did through your life and your ministry. But maybe for the last minutes, could you share what is your vision also for the future? What would you like to see, and what do you believe that God wants to do?
Hmm. There is a kingdom rising. You know, I've been walking with the Lord Yeshua, with Jesus, now for nearly 47 years. And I've been to all different kinds of churches, and I've served on staff and in messianic congregations as a cantor, as a choir director, as a worker and server. But my desire is to see out of all the earth that there would rise up a kingdom, this kingdom of Jews and Gentiles that God has called, that Jesus gave his life for. And I believe that that kingdom is rising. This is what I wake up for every day. I see it here in TOS Ministries. I see it all around the world, in every nation. There are a people who have been called out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, not to be a denomination, not to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Messianic Jew, but to be a member of this kingdom of God. When the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? He said, pray this, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is my passion, to pray in, to sing in, to see this kingdom come, the one that Jesus gave his life for, the ones who have been purchased out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, to be a demonstration of heaven in the earth. This is my passion. It's why I travel. It's why I sing. It's why I minister. It's why I continue to write and record and teach and write books and spend hours and hours on airplanes to see this kingdom and to encourage this kingdom wherever I find it.
Wow, thank you very much for your encouragement, for your demonstration, for your heart and your passion that you were definitely sharing with us. In the end, maybe how can people follow up on you, connect with you, also know more about you and your work?
Great. Well, we're all over social media. So we have web pages, and we're on Facebook and not on TikTok. We have our own channel on YouTube for all of our music. It's there. It's free. It's available. You can find us on Spotify. We have our own app. If you go to the Apple App Store, just Wilbur Ministries, and that app is free. Our videos, our music, our teachings, some of our books are there, audio books, and also our webpage, Wilbur Ministries. It's with Wilbur with a U, and Ministries plural, MINISTRIES.com. And you can find us there and many other places.
Thank you very much again for coming. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing. And we are really looking forward to hearing from you and seeing more and knowing more from you about you and your ministry in the future.
Thank you. A real blessing.